Good morning. Thank you for attending this class again. And today we want to look at the concluding part of what I began a few weeks ago on teaching your children modesty. At that time I read Proverbs 31, verse 30. I'll read that again now. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Let's pray. Great God of heaven, we thank Thee so much for Thy word as it came to us this morning, and also for the practical topic which we hope to discuss now. We pray that every one of us may be born again and may have a heart made right with Thee, and that out of that heart made right with Thee, we may desire to live every area of our lives to Thy honor and glory, as we just heard. O God, sanctify Thy word, bless it to our souls, and guide us in every detail of our lives, that we may live wholly and solely for the unspeakable gift of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, to refresh your memory a bit, we looked last time at the term beautiful and saw that it is not to be defined the way the world defines it, but it's to be defined in terms of Jesus Christ and His definition. We saw that He was exquisitely beautiful and at the same time profoundly meek. And that the world's understanding of beauty is a distortion of real beauty because of the heart problem that we come into this world with, that we focus only on the external and not the internal. I then tried to define modesty, and we looked at modesty as a significant aspect of Christian character that should work in our lives in such a way that also our dress and our demeanor would make the same profession that we do as true believers, and that we need to understand the sinfulness of immodesty. At that point, we began to look at some questions to discern our heart motives. Rather than give a list of all do's and don'ts in all of its details, we said that it's better to ask questions. Questions of ourselves, questions of our children, our daughters, and our sons. And we got partway through that when our time ran out. We looked at the first four questions. You can see point five on the outline. Are you dressing modestly out of love for Christ? Are you remembering in your dress? Number two, that if you are a believer, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Number three, are you dressing to get attention from other people? Number four, does your dress reflect your love for others? And I think, if I remember right, we made it through number four. Is that correct? We did five as well. Okay. Does your outward appearance detract from your inward appearance? All right, we'll pick up there then. Number six, you've got an outline that says there's nine. It goes through I, but I've added one in the intervening weeks. So we've got a J now as well. So I've got five more to questions to ask you. And then four guidelines. And that should bring us to, I hope, a helpful conclusion. So number six, are you honoring your father in what you are wearing? That may sound like a strange question, but there are too many fathers today who unfortunately do not have a place of authority in their daughters' lives. And God has instituted the family, as you well know, with a father as its head, and he's to care and protect those who are under him, which includes protecting his daughters from immodesty. And so our daughters need to give their fathers, or perhaps fathers need to take, authority to help them to discern. To discern what is modest dress and what is not modest dress. And a father can give input that can help our daughters refocus their intentions and their motives. And so as a father, we should not be afraid to tell our daughters no if they think that, if we think that what they are wearing is immodest. So we need to retain our God-given headship over our children in this way. Now, one of the problems here is that some fathers only say no to their daughters when they see something immodest, and they never compliment or show affection to their daughters in a positive way. And in that way, they actually think they're retaining their headship, but they're actually surrendering their authority, because in the heart of their daughters, they feel like their dad is just against them. That's wrong on the other side. It's important for a father to be able to look his daughter in the eye and say, "You look beautiful today. Are you? That looks really nice on you." Without any sign of flirtation. Because if a father doesn't do that, the tendency will be that the daughter will look for male affirmation in other places where she shouldn't be looking for it. So a daughter needs to know that she's beautiful in her father's eyes and has his approval when she's dressing modestly and shows her natural beauty. And you see, then when the daughter understands that and understands her dad thinks she's beautiful, that she will respect him when he says, "You know, don't you think that outfit you've got on is just a tad bit immodest? Maybe you should change into something else." So, when a father affirms his daughter in proper ways, there can be rare exceptions, of course, but generally speaking, that daughter will honor her father. And the question of immodesty, most of the time, will not have to surface often. But the father needs to play a role here. Number 7, we need to ask the question, would it be okay for your mom to wear that? Now, that sounds absurd, because I know you look at clothes in a store and say, "Well, that's for old women," and you think in terms of your mom, maybe some of you young people, or your grandma, but moms have a lot of wisdom about what is modest and what is immodest. They have more life experience than you do as daughters, and so it could be a good question for we men to ask our daughters. Do you think your mom would wear that? Because they trust the modesty of their mother. And they know deep down that their mothers are wiser and more experienced and godly. And Paul exhorts us, actually, in Titus 2, 1 through 5, that young women should learn from older women about every area of life. And so, dress is included here. Now, that means, of course, that you mothers must be examples of modesty and purity yourselves. One of the confusing things for daughters is if they see their mother wearing really low-cut things or very tight jeans or whatever that is immodest, then deep down in that daughter, she loses respect for her mother, or otherwise she gets very confused and her own boundaries about what is modest or immodest become blurred, because mom herself is not setting a good example. And number eight, and this to me is one of the most important ones. Sometimes rather than say to a daughter, or for that matter a son if he's dressing immodestly, go change your clothes, you're immodest. You know, that's the wrong way. But what about just asking the question? So what do you think? Do you think that you could get on your knees and ask God's blessing on what you're wearing? And you see, that can make a young person really think about it. Because after all, we're to do all things for the glory of God. Whatever we eat or drink, or however we wherewithal we shall be clothed, we should do it to the glory of God. So the real question for every one of us, no matter who we are, is can we ask God's blessing on what we are wearing? And not only what we're wearing, but what we're doing or what we hope to do or whatever. That's one thing my dad used to say to me. If I come with, to him with a question like, Dad, you think it's okay to do this? Can you do this and not sin? Those are questions I asked before I was converted, sadly. After I was converted, I was asking, how can I stay as far away from sin as possible? Because I learned to hate it, of course. But, you know, my dad would say, well, why don't you get down on your knees and ask God's blessing on what you're thinking of doing? And if you can't do that in your conscience, you shouldn't go there. You shouldn't do that. And I think that's a pretty good rule of thumb. And as children get older, especially 15, 16, 17, and you start giving over more responsibility to them, and they have to make their own life decisions, this becomes an even more important question. Because you're molding the heart, and they have to understand it from the heart. If you just say yes or no, and you make all the decisions for them, and they really want to go in another direction, they feel internal rebellion. As soon as you turn your back, or as soon as you go on vacation, they're going to wear what they want to wear, or they're going to go against your principles. That's not what you want. You want to train their heart. And so this is a heart issue. Can you ask God's blessing what you're going to wear? And where you're going to go tonight? Whatever. How you're going to spend your time tonight? Can you get down on your knees and say, Lord, bless my time tonight, what I'm about to do, help it, that it may honor thee. If you can't say that, something's wrong. Number nine, turning just a moment here to young men, because this also applies to you. Do you young men show by your dress and your attitudes that you cherish biblical modesty, both in yourself and in young women? I told you at the beginning of these talks that I would focus a bit more on daughters here because the issues were a bit more prevalent, but it's also true of young men that we must teach our, as fathers and mothers, modesty to our sons. And we must encourage our sons to value modesty in their own conduct, not become flirtatious, but also in the choice of their own clothing. And we must strive to promote in them a sense of true beauty so that they will seek godly women for their friends and ultimately one day for their wife. And therefore, as fathers, we must set the example for our sons in this area so that they see these very same virtues modeled in us. And we must do that for this simple reason. We will encounter an uphill and losing battle with our daughters if our sons don't share the same values and live by the same codes of modesty that we seek to instill into our daughters. And so what's really important is that as a community, also as a church community and as a school community, that we all support together the rules of the school and the guideline principles of modesty I'm trying to bring you now, and that we teach that to our fathers and our sons so that family by family, you see, this all gets reinforced in the entire corporate church, school, home community. And so that there comes as close as possible a general consensus of what true modesty is. Number 10. And this is the bottom line, of course. How do your clothes bring glory to God? Paul has in mind, of course, when he says that we should do all for the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 6:20 and 10:31, as I already hinted at, that every area should be devoted to God in purity, in chastity, and in modesty. And therefore, the bottom line we need to teach our children, and particularly our daughters here, is that we need to be able to look at ourselves and say that we believe that our clothing and our appearance also brings glory to God. We need to help our daughters see that necessity. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, they were given clothes in the garden. And their clothes were not given so that they could reveal more skin or show off their bodies to good advantage in the eyes of the world. But they were given clothes to cover their nakedness and their shame and to seek God's face to bring Him glory. So I hope these 10 questions will help us and our children examine our intentions and our choices when we pick out clothing. And I hope they will understand, you'll understand from these 10 questions, that it's really a heart decision. What we wear on our bodies is ultimately a heart decision about whether we want to bring the glory of God and the gospel to others, or whether we want people focused on us and our sensuality. Now that leads me then to 4 concluding guidelines that I want to just develop with you here. The first guideline surrounds the question of the age of teaching. The age of teaching. Whether your children are toddlers or whether they're in their late teens, it's not ever too early or too late to begin teaching modesty. Now, there used to be a day when it seemed that children could be children. The worries of sexual temptation and modesty belong to their adolescent years, if there is such a thing, or even later years. But those days have long since passed. And the times we find ourselves in today call parents to be proactive early on. Because many of the battles of adolescence are really won or lost in childhood. Our children are being bombarded with the immodesty of our culture from the earliest years. Children's underwear designers have printed sexual innuendos on their clothing. And movies are directed at children, often show gross immodesty. Even toddlers today are entered into beauty contests. And teenagers as young as 15 are becoming sex symbols and idols in contemporary magazines, television shows, all forms of media. And some secular sociologists are arguing that the world of fashion is attempting to make younger sexier, crossing the threshold of adulthood to teen years and then down to preteen years. And you compound that with all kinds of child abuse, even of younger children. All of this taken together in our sex-crazy, sex-dominated world certainly ought to teach us it's never too early to start teaching our children about modesty and propriety. And if we begin very young teaching them to dress in a way that exalts Jesus Christ. We will instill in them deep inward convictions that they can carry with them through those tumultuous teen and early teen and later teen years. The second concluding guideline is just a word about makeup and beauty. The debate over makeup in Christian circles has gone on for quite some time, and I've been a minister for 38 years and never said a word about it, which maybe is I should have. But whether or not it's permissible for Christians to wear makeup at all and how much is too much has long been a matter of debate. And I'm not here to lay down any firm rules. And I realize that it varies a lot from Christian culture to Christian culture. But I do think we need to sound a note of real caution here. I'm not going to be extremist and say that a very small amount of makeup that doesn't change one's natural beauty is necessarily sinful in and of itself. And though many of us fathers would probably prefer that daughters would wear no makeup at all and may encourage that directly or indirectly, we shouldn't fall into the trap of saying that all makeup is necessarily evil in itself. You have the examples of Jezebel, for example, in the Bible. Obviously, those examples are about extensive makeup that God condemned. But there are principles that would need, it seems to me, that would need to be followed here from a biblical perspective. One would be this. If you perceive that your daughters are becoming dependent on makeup and finding security in their beauty because of makeup, then you see, The heart issue, the line has been crossed. Deep down inside, they're saying that they're not satisfied with the natural beauty God has given them, and they're trying to make themselves a beautiful. And you need to then focus more on encouraging them to find their worth in Christ and not in external appearances. My wife has always told our girls that they should be natural, and if any makeup is used at all, that it should not, it should only enhance natural beauty, but they shouldn't use it to try to change their appearances. And I think that principle is a good one, so people don't look at you and say, oh wow, you've got, you know, a lot of makeup on, or you things like that. But the makeup, if it's used at all, should not be clearly visible. Now, another relevant question here is, when is your daughter old enough to start wearing makeup? And that's, of course, a subjective thing as well. An age that may be appropriate for one family may be too young for another. But I guess the basic guideline you might use here is this. Please, let's let our girls be girls when they're girls. And when they show themselves responsible for the little things you've entrusted them with, and if they show a discernment in why they should be allowed to wear a bit of makeup, and they can answer the above questions that I've given you in an appropriate way, maybe then the time is right for them to be able to do that. But certainly it must be a non-priority item in their lives and in yours. Number three, reflect modest femininity. I want to focus on that just a few minutes before we close as well. Modest femininity. Deciding what is appropriate for your daughter to wear or your son requires discretion and wisdom. Some clothing clearly shouldn't be worn. Other clothing is obviously permissible and obviously good. And some falls in the gray area, which is the most difficult and can cause challenges. Well, two biblical guidelines help us, I think, navigate this field. The first biblical principle is that our daughters are to dress in a way that reflects their femininity. Now, we implicitly draw this, don't we, this principle from creation. God created humans as male and female. And this distinction, while not teaching inferiority, still needs to be maintained. And it's for that reason, among many others, that homosexuality is wrong. Homosexuality destroys the biblical distinctions between male and female and destroys the concept of the Bible that God created the woman for the man. And what gender distinction then does is that it should also be maintained in the way one dresses. So the point of Scripture is that, broadly speaking, women are to wear feminine clothes and men are to wear masculine clothes. Now, Paul, giving us an example for corporate worship, commands this distinction even there, commanding women to wear head coverings so as not to bring dishonor to their husbands, and men are commanded likewise not to have long hair, Paul says. So, when deciding what's appropriate for our daughters to wear, it's necessary that we keep, first of all, this gender distinction in mind. Then a second biblical guideline here is that the feminine dress of our daughters must be chaste and reflect the concept of reverence toward God. And when you show reverence toward God, you are not a stumbling block to the consciences of others. And that can be a difficult issue because the terms chaste and reverence and stumbling block can often be interpreted subjectively. And one of the problems we have today is that the oldest generation, people in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, have a bit of a different definition in practical terms of modesty than maybe middle-aged people do, and middle-aged people have a little different understanding than younger people do, because the world has gotten more and more immodest, and people, like a frog in a kettle, you know, gets warm, gets used to it. And so the modesty line becomes weaker and weaker from one generation to the next. So the question of wearing modest clothing should not be, is this modest enough? You know, that's like asking, when it comes to modesty, what can I get away with before it's considered immodest? So, you young women, you shouldn't be trying to push the boundaries of your freedom with your parents. And as parents, we shouldn't become a stumbling block to our children from the other side and demand something that's, only extremely conservative. But we need to stop asking the question, how close can I get to the fire without getting burned or burning someone else? Young women, even middle-aged women, we need to recognize that older people are more offended in this area quicker. And so we shouldn't be offending them as much as possible. And so women of all ages, and men too, need to ask, how does my clothing respect the conscience of my Christian brothers or my Christian sisters? And how does this dress reflect my commitment to chastity until marriage, when I'm not yet married? So one of the great problems here is that when you constantly dress in a borderline fashion with immodesty, and then you look for a male, a young male, to court or to date and eventually to marry, you'll probably get a borderline young male because your dress has advertised the kind of man you're looking for. So in any article of clothing that sends the wrong message to members of the opposite sex and causes people to stumble should be avoided. And then number four, the last point I'm making as a guideline, is I want to underscore this. Be an example. It's important for our daughters to have an example of modesty. Mothers, many mothers are caught up today, I don't think it's so much in our circles, but in many other circles, in the web of immodesty. And that has been a great struggle for many parents and many children. because too much security is put in one's looks and too much struggle has gone into one's outward appearance. And so as fathers and mothers, we must set an example here and not overemphasize the external. It's also important that fathers not only affirm their daughters, but also affirm their wives. And in the presence of their daughters and sons. And say to their wife how beautiful they are and compliment them in all kinds of ways. So that children grow up in an affirmative atmosphere where they understand that their dad just loves their mom to pieces. Even though she doesn't wear makeup, even though she doesn't wear borderline immodest clothing, but just loves her natural beauty. And so children should be hearing their father say to their mother, "You are just stunning today," or "You're just beautiful. I just love you so much." That type of thing. It's important. So children understand as they grow up that it's not that kind of semi-sexual dress that gets the affirmation, but it's the natural beauty that gets the affirmation. So the way you treat your wife, the way you treat other women, also your daughters, will have a huge influence on the daughters themselves. Well, that leads me then to this conclusion. Beauty is often defined wrongly, we've seen. We live in a culture that's twisted its meaning. We must find ultimate beauty in Christ Himself, and in wearing the virtues that He has commanded us in the imperatives of the epistles. The Puritan Vincent Elsop put it this way, "Look into the gospel wardrobe. Christ has provided complete apparel to clothe you, as well as complete armor to define you, and He commands you to put on both that apparel and that armor and go out and fight His battles." So when we encourage our daughters and sons to dress modestly, we're not asking them to look homely. We're asking them to allow the beauty of Christ to shine through their inward character. And we're asking them to find true beauty in Christ and not to be enslaved to cultural perversions of beauty and handsomeness. And we're holding you young people accountable to the God-given task of glorifying Him in every way. And we're trying to get you to understand that modesty is an issue of the heart. And so we need to pray as parents, "Lord, help us to be examples and encouragers for our children as this war, and it is a war, is raged within them and within our culture." Let's pray together. Great God of heaven, we ask Thy benediction on this practical area of daily life, and we pray for great wisdom as fathers and mothers to guide our children, our young people, our sons and daughters in a way that is pleasing to Thee and brings glory to Christ and does not engage in extremes on one side or the other of the question of modesty, but brings respect and reverence and chastity and all the things Thy Word commands. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.